Hello and welcome to the Monday, April 18th, 2016 edition of the Sands and the Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let's start with weekend diaries, and the first one comes from Xavier. He was looking into how you can create this bash history-like behavior that's really useful sort of for forensics and such in Unix for Windows Command.exe. Natively, of course, there isn't really anything like that. Now, he starts out with some methods to restore the command history from memory. That's, of course, quite intrusive, requires memory dumps, and then with volatility you can actually pull out the data, and there's even a volatility plugin to allow you to do that. But then he also looks into sort of little extensions, shell scripts that can be used to at least get part of what we have in bash history on Windows. Now, there is also a nice comment a user wrote about how to write essentially a little wrapper around commands in command.exe, that and the wrapper then does the logging. Pretty interesting. Now, of course, none of that totally sort of mimics bash history, but I guess, you know, better than nothing. And just like bash history, of course, the user could always manipulate these files. In a second diary from this weekend, Didier is showing how Visual Basic scripts may contain encoded and unencoded parts, making analysis a little bit more tricky. At this point, Didier is really looking if others have seen similar behavior from malicious documents as he has to deal with here, and is sort of wondering how you dealt with these kind of mixed scripts. Well, take a look at his diary and share what you have as a comment. Last week, you may have heard about an outage of the Swedish air traffic control system that led to speculations that the outage was due to a Russian attack against air traffic control networks. Well, turns out the Swedish Civil Aviation Administration now finished an investigation into this particular outage, and they figured out that it was actually not caused by any kind of cyber attack or such, just solar flares actually. It happened when the sun was about to set, so it was sort of right in the line of some of these radar installations, and with Sweden being closer to the pole, of course, some of these solar flare effects are stronger, weaker magnetic fields protecting them at those geographic areas. So that's why they say it was probably solar flare activity, and they had similar issues a couple times in the past. On the other hand, any kind of jamming would probably not have happened from Russia itself, just based on the distance involved. It could have happened from like an airborne platform, essentially a plane that would fly over Sweden at the time, but again, there was no evidence that this happened, and also there is no evidence that a cyber attack happened around that time. A British government agency has yet again suggested that organizations do not require users to regularly change passwords. It's a little bit of a pet peeve of mine too, and I tend to agree with this, but still, I so often do see it as a requirement, so it's nice to have a more or less official body come forward and recommend not to require password changes. The problem that they're pointing out is that really you're overburdening the user here. You know, you're asking them to come up with hard-to-remember passwords, and now you're asking them to change the password once they finally remember it. So the end result is that they will share passwords between different sites. And that's, of course, more dangerous than not changing the one secure password that you only use for your important work systems. That's really sort of how their argument goes there. I don't know if anybody has ever seen any sort of good studies that actually look in user behavior at user behavior. I didn't see a reference here in this document, but this is not the first time they suggest it, so maybe there is something out there that I missed. And in recent years, most browsers have implemented some kind of cross-site scripting protection. Essentially, what this usually tries to do is it tries to profile user input and then looks at data coming back from the server and sees if it matches any specific signatures. Never been really perfect, but there is yet another way how to bypass it, this time in Microsoft's new Edge browser. So, as a pen tester, if you're trying to demo that you can't fully rely on this kind of browser-based protection, well, check the link in the show notes for further details. Well, and that's it for today. So, thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow.